Hey guys, it's Fabian, and you are listening to episode 12 of the Drink Culture Podcast. This week's guest is Amanda Griffith from the Grounded Plant and Floral Company. If you guys are unfamiliar with that name, she has recently rebranded, so you may know it as Wild Heart Blooms, which is a full-service floral studio. It's a great boutique there in the Holy Cross neighborhood in Indianapolis, and they basically do floral design for events, weddings, personal styling for bouquets as well. So really cool shop. We actually learned a lot about plants that we didn't know before. But we want to thank Amanda. She was an awesome guest, and just wanted to thank her for her willingness to be open and share her story about starting her business and a little bit about her personal life as well. So hopefully you guys enjoy this as much as we did. And at the end of the show, we get into some Seed Lip, which is a distilled non-alcoholic spirit, which we'll explain all of that at the end. So just stick through it. Listen up and enjoy, and let's get into this episode with Amanda. Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Fabian. To my right, we have Jared here, and you are listening to the Drink Culture Podcast, the official podcast of Indianapolis. On today's show, we have a very awesome guest, and we are here in the Holy Cross neighborhood at 1503 East Michigan Street, and we are at her new store. Right? You'd call that a store?
This is a store.
Yeah. It's called Grounded Plant and Floral Company. So, Amanda, for the people who may not know you, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do here.
Yes, I am Amanda Griffith, and I am the owner of Grounded Plant and Floral Co. But some people might know me as the owner of Wild Heart Blooms, which was and still is my first company, which is a wedding flower company, wedding and event, really anything flowers. So I have been doing that for the past 3 or 4 years, and I have now decided to open up a storefront here in Indianapolis called Grounded Plant and Floral Co., which will eventually be rebranded as everything.
So is that going to include the events and wedding as well?
Or correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this space just didn't feel like Wild Heart Blooms, and pun intended, I just kind of grew out of that name. So.
And where were you guys at before? Where were you at before?
I was in my dining room. So.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was no work-life balance. It was literally.
So this is your first store? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, congratulations.
Thank
I did
you.
Not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my very first space. So it was, it's a really fun, exciting, and also quite scary move. So.
So you kind of skimmed over there. So you said it's a wedding and events and things like that. So dive a little deeper. What exactly do you do for weddings? I was creeping on your website and saw that you do kind of a lot more than weddings as well. So explain that a little bit.
Yeah. So I mostly do flowers for weddings, but I can really do anything as far as arches or, I mean, really anything that Eric can build or I can, which Eric is my husband, or I can do as far as like flowers and fabric and things. But basically it's flowers, bouquets, table arrangements, ceremony, things like that. And then I'll do events as far as rehearsal dinners or baby showers or just day-to-day arrangements and things like that.
So like if I wanted to get my wife some
yes.
flowers like that.
Now you have somebody.
Oh, nice.
So is it going to be open on a daily basis here? Are you going to be running the shop 24/7, but to an extent?
Yeah. So I'll be open as of now. I'm trying to figure out like what the need is. But as of now, it's Wednesday through Friday, 11 to 6. And then Saturdays, 10 to 4, kind of depending on my wedding schedule. But I'm really trying to be open as much as I can because I know Saturday is an easy day for everybody to get to. So
if you're booked up, is the shop closed?
Technically, yes, but basically I won't be here, but somebody will be, but I can't guarantee the person that's here is going to be as knowledgeable as me. So we ran into that this Saturday. My husband, Eric, ran the shop and he,
let's dive deeper into that. What happened?
He didn't know the prices of everything. He didn't have the music going when I came in.
Oh my gosh. He probably thought a perennial was an annual or something. Flower talk.
We kept joking. He kept calling everything a fiddlestick, which is not a real plant. So it was quite fearful for me to let him run the shop, but he did a great job.
Excellent.
What is your background there that gives you that knowledge that he certainly doesn't possess?
I grew up gardening with my dad and my grandmother. So my grandmother always had these beautiful gardens, fruit trees and vegetables and raspberry bushes and various flowers. And then my dad always, we did our yard. We have a lot of trees around our yard and flowers in general. I never assumed to do a career out of it, but it was just always a passion of mine. So learning kind of just from them and then continued knowledge. I mean, every day I'm learning something. Plants are certainly an ever learning process, growing. Yes. I mean, indoor, I'm better with indoor. I really don't know too much about outdoor, but.
What is your background from an educational standpoint? Like, was it something that you were intertwined with biology? Where did you come from that?
I wish. I went to Purdue for hospitality and tourism management. So more events. I knew I wanted to do events, but I didn't realize I wanted to do flowers or any of this. So I wish I would have done business or horticulture, because that would have been a lot more beneficial.
I mean, do you think that would have let you, or not let you, but led you in the same direction? Like, do you think had you had that, you would have ended up starting your own business and doing what you do now?
Probably not. I mean, I never even necessarily had the dream of starting my own business, but it led that way. And I have dreams every day. Someday I want to be a landscape architect, and some days I want to do nothing. So it's different every day, but I had never imagined this is where my life would go, but I'm loving it.
At what point do you remember the moment or the day or the time when you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this for a living. This is what I'm going to do for my career.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of fell into it, to be honest. So I never thought that this is what I would be doing. But once I got into it, I totally fell in love with it. I never thought I would own my own business. But again, when the time came, I realized that it was going to be something that I really wanted to do and would be successful at. So I jumped in.
Do you have any mentors, anyone you kind of lean on outside of does your husband help you from the business standpoint of things, or has it just been like trial by fire for you to figure it all out?
A little bit of both. My dad has owned his own roofing company for a long time. Okay. So that was, I mean, I'm sure that's subconsciously something that I've looked up to, and just he was working for a company that he didn't enjoy and didn't follow their values, so he decided to open up his own, and that's kind of what I did. So I don't know how to do everything, especially accounting and business wise it's not my strengths, but my counterpart is very good at those things, so he's helped me along the way. But I'm starting to take those things on myself now. So
and what was the basis for Eve? I mean, you said that you were helping garden with your grandmother and your father and stuff. But aside from that, was there something in your career path that kind of, further sparked that interest that you're like, okay, well, I don't know if I want to own my own business, but maybe that's the little seed that started to grow into what eventually would become this.
I think mainly probably because it's, I've always been, my friends will tell you, I've always been my own person. If all of them were doing a group costume, I'd be the one being like, well, I want to be the person that does this costume differently, the one that's set apart. So I think that's kind of the direction that I've always gone. And the company that I used to work for was so wonderful, and I still enjoy them and still love seeing them. But I was just kind of wanting to go in a different direction and have my own style and be known for that. So I kind of just made the jump and hoped that it went well.
And have you always had a creative side and an artistic side mm-hmm. that you've wanted to explore?
Absolutely. I've always, since a young age, I've been more, I painted rather than being athletic. I mean, I'm an athletic person as well, but I would say that I'm more creative. That's more of a talent. So not in every aspect, but it's something I certainly enjoy and I'm good at.
From the, you talked about it a little bit, we hit it on it somewhat. When was the decision made to go through that whole rebranding process, and has it been a difficult decision to kind of say hey, I'm going to, cause I know what it's kind of like. It's almost, it's your baby, and then you're moving on to a second child, so to speak. So how did that whole process go down? What made you make that decision of rebranding, and what kind of obstacles have you seen with that?
It's been an interesting process. I would say I'm pretty impulsive. And so I didn't have plans on doing a whole rebranding nor opening up a shop, but I, in March I had a miscarriage, which was just not expected. And I had to, it was a weird one. It was a partial molar one. So I had to, we have to wait for 6 months to have, wow. And I am not a very patient person at all. So waiting has just been a really interesting process. So I normally get bored in the off season anyway. So I really thought that I needed to find something else to fill my time. So a storefront was just really the next step, mm-hmm. Taking more time up and just more work in general. I'm always loved being busy. I don't like sitting still. So that was just kind of the combination of, I just want something new. Mm-hmm. And with the new space, that just didn't, Wild Heart Blooms didn't fit this space and that new adventure. So I decided to rebrand. And unfortunately, I just branded my nice creepy white van. So that's going to stay as is for a while. But hence the impulsiveness. I did not plan this, but I'm so excited. And it's really, honestly, feels meant to be. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So. The space itself that we're sitting in right now, how did that come about? Were you looking for spaces, or did this kind of just, you drive by one day and you're like, ooh, that looks cool?
Yeah, I'm honestly pretty creepy. I've been always looking for space, even though I've never actually wanted to open up a storefront. This has been, I've looked at this space for probably about 2 years now, because we live just 3 blocks away. And then I have 2 other locations that I've borderline been a little bit pushy. Like, I've sent them letters like, are you renting your space? And one of the places like doesn't even have heat or a bathroom. Like, there's no way they can rent their space. So this one was the most reasonable. Like, it had a door and bathroom and heat and air conditioning.
You know, so. Two very important things.
I was going to say, a door, it is necessary.
So this one, and we live 3 blocks away, and we bought the house. So I wanted to feed into this neighborhood, and I believe in this neighborhood, and I think it's a good space. So we'll see. We'll hope.
How long have you guys lived here?
We've lived in the neighborhood for about 2 years, and then this space has only been here since I got the keys July 1st.
Wow.
So, yeah. Super new. And obviously you guys can't see my space, but it's a building with 6 suites in it, and I'm the only one of 6 suites. So if anybody's looking for a space.
Yeah, you got to get in early and kind of build it so that the people will come. I think it's cool, and we've kind of hit on this topic with several of our guests that we've had on, is that people that actually live in the community that they work, and there being some sort of importance to them to really want to help either rebuild or build or establish that relationship with the people that live in that community. You know, how important is that to you, and like, what do you hope that this helps bring to where you're living?
I mean, I think that this neighborhood used to be a really special place. I mean, I was just reading on the neighborhood association, the history. It used to have like a grocery store around the corner and just a space that everybody could just kind of like live in this neighborhood and be. And I've talked to the neighborhood, the people that live here in general, and they've just have a really big passion to just make this space like a really, place where people want to stay and raise their kids. And I mean, we have a park just a few blocks up that way, and that's where everybody came to watch the fireworks, and it's just a really special place. And so I just want to do what I can to, while we live here, to make it a better place and grow the community. I mean, we do like a ladies' night every like month or so. So I would love to like host it here and just make it more of a community here within Holy Cross. Yeah. So
do you walk to work every day?
Yes. It takes me 6 minutes.
That's
I have 2 dogs. I walk the dogs. We'll see in the winter. I'm a huge baby in the winter, so I'll probably drive.
It gets cold out. So
yeah.
So what, if anything, and it could be a good or a bad thing, but what have you discovered about yourself through the process of becoming a business owner? I think that there's a lot of people out there with hopes and dreams and ambitions to eventually one day open up their own business. And for some reason or another, they may be held back and not realize their own ambitions. So for people out there who have had an idea, what advice or what is something that you've learned, like I said, good or bad, that you can impart on them?
I think that the one thing I didn't know about owning your own business was, well, this is coming from, I just didn't realize how emotional it was. Like, the victories were so great, but then also the failures were also very personal. So everything along the way has been, and I'm the only one. So it's just, there's just no one to there's no one to share it with. I tell my friends but they're so supportive and so sweet, and my parents and things, but nobody really understands. Like,
and are you an emotional person to begin with?
Not to begin with, but I'm also a female. So I'm sure that's, I mean, I'm more so, emotional than you guys probably, but
I don't know. I'm pretty emotional. Say,
ask my wife. She might say otherwise.
It was surprising. It was really surprising.
So would you say that you've had a new appreciation for those emotions in that, like, you're seeing, you know, happiness or success through a different set of eyes, or failure through a different set of eyes?
Yes. Victories have been so wonderful. Failures have certainly been a learning process on how to get over it. Like, just move past it and learn from it, whether it be something small or, I mean, I haven't even had that many big, I haven't had big failures mm-hmm. that would ruin my business or anything. Hopefully.
Have you had any bad Yelp reviews or any bad Facebook reviews?
Oh, goodness. Not that I know of.
Because usually that's the first thing when people are like, when I got my first review and it was like a 1-star. That's the first time I was like about to send this personal email to this person. So
I haven't had any of those. Well, not that I know of. I need to maybe look at those. But I have gotten in a little bit of an argument over emails, like, with, because weddings are very emotional.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Let's
get into that, because they really are.
They have been. I mean, I have been lucky and haven't had any brides that have been any issues or anything. But the mothers can just be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. So I've gotten in some emails, like one email battle, and it was,
did you win?
I don't think anybody won. We just needed to stop probably after our last two.
That's funny.
It just wasn't a good fit, and we needed to both acknowledge that, but both of our prides were a little bit,
yeah,
where we were going at it.
Like, are a lot of your weddings just here local, or mm-hmm. do you go outside of Indianapolis at all?
Most of them have been local, but I grew up in a northwest suburb of Chicago, so my parents still live there. So I've been able to do some weddings there just because they still live there. So I don't charge to travel.
Which suburb?
Like Zurich. It's okay. A northwest yep. suburb. Oh, so yeah. I get to hang out with them, and I get to use their house as design space, and just kind of... and it's been people that I went to high school with or friends of friends. Yeah. So it's been pretty easy.
Like, long-term, do you think that that's a goal or an aspiration, is to be able to be hired, like a photographer is hired for a wedding and gets
yes.
to travel and do those sorts of things?
Absolutely. I got to do one wedding actually last summer on Mackinac Island in Michigan.
Oh, nice.
And it was beautiful. It was actually a huge challenge too, because obviously I had to drive the flowers up, load them onto a boat, then load them onto a horse-drawn carriage.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Ridden up to a hotel. I was like constantly turning back, like, please slow down, please don't hit that bump too hard. The flowers are fine. But.
So we're in a situation like that. Do you source the flowers still from your supplier here and then drive them up, or can you, like, how does that whole system work?
It depends. I really love supporting my wholesaler here that I work with, just because they're so good to me. So anytime I can, especially if I'm just going to Chicago, I usually just order all from her and then drive it down there. So
I mean, kind of Yeah, if you don't mind, break that down a little bit more for me, because
I'm super intrigued on like how the whole process works.
Yeah,
so I know there's a wholesaler apparently.
Yeah, so go for it. Just break it down from like a business standpoint of like, and you don't have to give away your proprietary information by any means.
Yeah.
But like throw it out there just so like how does the operation work?
It's different for every florist, I'm sure, and in different every state. But here in Indy, we have 3 wholesalers. So. And we're lucky downtown because all those wholesalers are within 20 minutes from me. So I don't have to have them deliver to me, or I can just go there and pick things out. So basically, for day-to-day events, I can just go in there and just find out what they have and just pick what I need. For weddings, I order within 3 weeks, 3 to 2 weeks, I'll order flowers from them, and I tell them colors and the look that I'm going for and order kind of specific things that I need. And they are the ones that get them from all over, from growers from Chile, Japan.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they get them from all over, which is not uncommon. I mean, you normally, a lot of times brides will say, well, I don't want you to fly them in too far, but that's very
common. You can't
common.
Help it,
it's
right?
Common. It's common, especially in the winter. There's just not a lot of things growing here.
Yeah.
But during the summer, I love using local growers. It's really... we have some really fun stuff in here in Indiana, so I use that as much as I can. And my wholesaler that I use is really good about that. So so that's kind of how I do it. I order from them, and they put things together, and we have a good relationship going now that we've done it for a couple years now. So she knows my style, and she knows that I like to keep things – I like to keep all my weddings pretty custom, so she's always trying to give me new things and –
So we got that. The wholesaler is hooking you up with with the product. Okay. So then I'm the bride. I write you an email. Hey, I need, you know, this, or I have an idea. Like, how does that work? Like, do they come to you with an idea, or do they kind of give you, you know, free range to say, you know, design my wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that work?
It's a little bit of both. Usually they have a color palette that they're working with, certain colors, but usually brides don't come in and be like, I want this type of flower and this type of flower. They don't really give me a list of that. They usually have some photos that they found that they're drawn to. And then we kind of talk through things, and I kind of ask details, whether they like certain things, or whether they like this about a picture, or they don't like this. And then we kind of go from there. And usually the way I design is pretty organic and garden like, so usually they're drawn to that style, so they're gonna come to me for that reason. So usually it's a good fit.
What was your first event that you did that you're like, ooh, I can do this? Do you remember? Like, did you go into the wholesaler and like pick out flowers, and then one day you're like, you know what, I could do this for an event, and then an event happened and you're like, wait, I can do this now for a living?
Well, it's funny because my first job in flowers was not designing. It was just selling.
Okay.
Like I was the owner's assistant, and then I was just kind of like the marketing person, like know everybody in the industry and just kind of like create relationships with people, and then like talk to the bride because I was the youngest out of the people that worked at the at the place. So I would just like kind of talk with the bride and find out what she wanted and gab. And then so it was interesting. I had never really designed, and I just started kind of forcing my way in. And then they basically said, we don't have a place for you as a designer. And I was like, cool, I'll do it myself. So basically that's why I started. It was just kind of like, they don't have a place for me, and this is what I want to do, so I'm going to try it on my own. There was some times where I'm like, I was designing and I was helping doing an event, and I was like, I could do this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't need me to do the whole thing, but I was like, I could do this. And so I decided to do it myself.
I like it.
Seems logistical, like a nightmare. You have to like be able to order all these plants for like tables and like arrangements that they're gonna put on their like what is it called? Is it boutonniere?
A boutonniere, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the flowers that they hold, man. It's tough.
Like I have nightmares oftentimes. Like flowers are a living thing, and they don't like certain things, and when they get hot they just die, and it's a very emotional process. I mean, I can't tell you how many times where I turn around and all of a sudden flowers are just dead and there's nothing you can do. You just have to throw them away and use something else. It's
that sounds frustrating.
Yeah, it is. is.
So I like always talking about the success of everything, but can you picture a time, or do you remember a time when, or your, I don't want to say tragedy, but like, what was one of your biggest obstacles or biggest experiences where you're just like, I'll always remember that and grow from it.
Like a big obstacle. Well, I think like day-to-day obstacle is always comparing myself to just with social media. It's such a great tool, but it's also like it's such a tough tool too, because you're just constantly seeing what the competition is doing. So it's just a challenge to feel like you're doing a good job and just like staying relevant. And so that's an obstacle that I personally deal with every single day. An obstacle just in general?
Well, more specifically, like, do you remember an instance where something bad happened and you're like, I'll always remember that one?
Yeah, like a disaster.
Yeah, disaster. That's the right word I've been looking for.
I think my mom would like be here being like, do you remember this one time? My parents helped me with one of my first weddings. And from now on, I will always, so in meetings, I always promise like, oh yeah, I can do this great install. Like, this is how we'll do it. Like, it'll be so great. And then my husband's an engineer, so I'll go home and I'll be like, okay, this is what you have to do. This is my idea. And he'll be like, oh hell no, we're not doing it this way. Like, that way will not work. I remember one time I wanted to hang something with fishing line, and he was like, yeah, that's not nearly strong enough. Like, we'll be hanging it with like a steel, like rope thing.
Yeah.
So we were hanging this hanging arrangement, and it was on a wood board and rope, and I was putting this like heavy arrangement on it. And literally as I put the arrangement on it and set it on there and let my hands go, it fell. And I turned around and the mother of the bride was standing there watching the whole thing. So it fell, and my mom did not stay calm at all. She started panicking, being like, oh my gosh, Amanda, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, Mom, it's fine. Like, we'll figure it out. Inside, I was panicking the same way, but the mother of the bride was standing behind me. So we figured it out. It was all fine. It got up there. It looked beautiful. It was all set up. But I will always run a big install by my husband or my father.
And do you typically carry like backups for something like that?
Mm-hmm. So I have a toolbox that is way too full with things that I never use, but you never know what you're going to need. So I always have, there's always somebody on backup. There's always, Eric's always a drive away.
Also, at the end of the day with the flowers, you can always kind of be like, oh no, this is an arrangement I wanted to be actually,
it's supposed to be on the floor, right?
Exactly, right?
And I saw another florist from New York. She said something. She was like, it's not brain surgery. It's like, it's flowers. It's someone's wedding day. It's a very important day. But at the end of the day, you're not performing brain surgery. So yeah, we can figure it out.
You mentioned something earlier about competitors. You don't have to, tell us who your competitors are and we'll give them free publicity. But do you consider competitors in the event marketing space? Do you consider competitors in the florist space, or is it all of that? And is that the challenge that you face?
It's more so in the floral space. And when I say competitors, I'm so glad they're around, because they push me.
For sure.
And they push like the indie boundaries for flowers. Like, they just make indie better in general, for indie flowers better.
Yeah.
And there's so many weddings to go around. I can't do them all, so I'm grateful for them. But it's mostly just in flowers in general. It's not in the event industry. And I'm glad. I mean, it's very cordial. It's not like enemies.
Cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anytime if I was having trouble, I feel like I could reach out to them. And I mean, I believe any of them would help me. So.
Excellent.
So I've got a kind of like a headier question. Yes. And I'm interested to see how you answer this. So you mentioned that you painted, and I think that, and this is just my own opinion, so I'm going to say I think that a lot of artists, like musicians or painters, want to create their art that's going to survive past them, right? So flowers are so finite. They have an expiration date. They're going to die. Do you think that subconsciously there's something about that that draws you to flowers, is knowing that its beauty will be so brief?
Yes. I think that's the thing about flowers too, is I think that's something that's so beautiful about them too, is it's around for a moment and then they're gone. It's there to serve its purpose. Like for weddings, people are like, oh, it's so silly that we spend that much on flowers for one day. But at the same time, like, you're going to be listening to your band or DJ for one day. You're going to eat that food for one day. Like, it's just a combination of all those things that you're going to enjoy for one day. And it is so beautiful that it's just like it serves its purpose and then it's gone. Like, it's not going to clutter your house. It's not going to, I mean, look at, it's going to be in photos, but it's just something that's there to be enjoyed in the moment and then it's gone. I think it's really beautiful, the whole sense of it.
Yeah, I mean, and just the fact that people are willing to spend a lot of money to kind of create that, you know, not an atmosphere, but like a world. You're literally creating this little world, not just on that day, but even if you just, you know, decorate your house with flowers or whatever. Yes. You love certain colors. You're kind of surrounding yourself with that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I've seen her. I've been in her creations before. They're pretty impressive. Her setups.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
He's been around them for sure.
So, you know, obviously with drink culture, one of the things we like to do is highlight people here in the Indianapolis area. And going with that, what's brought you to Indianapolis and why do you continue to stay here in Indianapolis? I mean, we talked about the neighborhood a little bit, but is there more to it? Like, why you weren't born here, you're not from here, but you're here and you remain here.
Yeah. I after college, I went to Purdue, so I was here in Indiana, and a lot of my good girlfriends live here. But really I went back to Chicago when I, after school, and I was dating my husband at the time, and I was, waiting for him to get to Chicago, and it just wasn't happening. So we did distance for 2 years, and I decided it was time to make the jump, and I came to Indy. So kind of a lame answer, but I came to Indy for that reason. And then I stayed because
I thought she was.
Yeah, that's why I was waiting for the stay part.
Yeah, I stayed, but I mean, I married him, but I stayed because, I mean, I can't imagine opening up a business in Chicago. Yeah. It just is too big. So Indy is so wonderful for starting a business. It's just like small enough, but big enough that it's open to ideas, but also the community that's, I mean, such a great community. I've only been open for 2 weekends, and I've pretty much known every single person that's come in, which is really wonderful. Just the community that I've only been here for a couple years, but has already supported me. So that's been really special. So I don't think I would have been able to do this in Chicago. I mean, I have a lot of friends and family there, but it's just not the same. So I've been really grateful to Indy, and with that coming from like living, I mean, I didn't grow up in the city, but living in that bigger city, I didn't want to move to the Indiana suburbs quite yet. So we're going to stay downtown for a while.
I struggle with that myself.
Yeah.
I wish I lived downtown.
It's so great.
I really do.
There's spaces available.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling my wife about that house that you posted in Kennedy King, but it's a little pricey.
It is, but
it's worth it.
It's downtown, so.
Yeah.
So, drink culture.
Yes.
Right. We drink here.
We do.
A little bit.
Some fun ones for you.
Yeah,
today.
So when we reached out to you, you kind of had this awesome proposal for what we would be drinking today, and I was very intrigued by all of it and immediately Googled it just to look it up. So, describe what we've been sipping on and what we're going to try.
Yes. So it's this company that I had found when I was opening up the shop that I really wanted to try. And it's called Seedlip. And it's distilled in London, and it's a non-alcoholic spirit. And so it's distilled as a spirit, but then it's filtered in a way that there's no alcohol in it. But the labels are really beautiful, which I'm sure they'll post notes or something. Or you can just Google it. But the labels are really beautiful, so I think they'll go really well with the shop. But they have some really good flavors to them, too. And then, so you can mix them just with tonic and use them as a spirit, or you can mix them with spirits and use them as a cocktail.
So is this your first experience with Seedlip?
Yeah, I just got them this morning, so.
Did Did you open one earlier at all? This is the first time trying.
I wanted this to be our first time.
And
I wanted to share it with somebody.
I mean, this concept really has, and it's very novel. And if you kind of skipped over or weren't really paying close attention to what she just said, you know, this is made in such a way that it uses traditional distillation processes. Mm-hmm. So it's a non-alcoholic spirit. As oxymoronic as that sounds, you know, they make it the same way that they would make like a vodka or gin or whiskey. But they just take all the alcohol out. They take out all the sugar. Mm-hmm. There's no artificial flavorings or anything like that. No calories. So from what I was reading, the guy who invented it, Ben Branson, really wanted to have an alternative for people who weren't drinking or couldn't drink for one reason or another, and provide them with not just more of like an upscale kind of drink other than like tap water or soda water or LaCroix, because we've all had our fair share of that. So this is honestly something that you can mix like a mocktail or a cocktail with that, you know, if you do want to have that feeling of having a beverage when everybody else is drinking, this is exactly what it's for. And I think their branding's on point. The bottles look awesome. Sitting next to that bottle of gin there from Hotel Tango, like, you would honestly think that they're both spirits.
Seriously.
And yes, their branding is so awesome.
So great. Yeah, honestly, unless somebody was like studying it, you probably wouldn't even be able to tell it wasn't alcoholic. I mean, unless you tried it, I mean, you'd probably be able to tell, but.
And we've been trying them straight, so I'm excited because this is the other part of it. With this seed lip, you can actually make it into an alcoholic drink as well. So if you read my profile, I do consider myself a professional drinker, so I would definitely like to try it with a little bit of gin.
Absolutely.
I think that
Which one
would be.
With the garden or the spice?
I think I like the spice and that garden, and if you guys get the opportunity, I highly suggest you go check this out. That garden tastes like cucumber and like very floral, and the spice
so fresh.
Has a little bit of a kick, almost, you know, not like cayenne, but almost like a turmeric or some sort of spice that's really delicious. And I don't really know what that comes from, but
you didn't.
It's
I was
super
trying
awesome.
To see if you'd catch the flavor. I read somebody and they said that it tasted like Christmas.
I could see that.
I could see
that
too.
That spice.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they say to pair it with grapefruit, which I would not assume.
So we're going to just make a random gin drink here. You cut up some grapefruits. I'm definitely going to pour that in there.
I didn't bring much vodka and gin.
I would definitely.
Just a bottle of each.
Tonic
just
too.
A bottle of each.
Yeah, I would definitely say the spice, if you're going to drink it straight, I think the spice is my favorite.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Versus the garden.
Yeah.
Spice. Here we
That's
go.
Garden. I'm gonna do one with garden.
Both very interesting though. Like, as soon as you try them, it's a little bit different than. I don't know. I don't know what I expected.
I didn't think they would be as flavorful as.
Yeah,
they
it's
were.
True.
They're not sweet by any means.
No.
Flavorful for sure.
So.
Jared, do you want one?
Yes.
I think that's. I'll leave my consensus towards the end here. So, Amanda, I'll ask you another question.
Yes.
Where do you pull your inspiration from? So, your pictures that you've got up on your website are all very beautiful. I, again, suggest people go check them out. We'll put a link up in the show notes. But
thank you.
You know, you said that people seek you out for a specific style that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you describe your style as, and where do you pull your inspiration from?
It's very, I would say it's very garden inspired and organic. I'm not going to have like that perfect pave, perfect rounded bouquet.
Does pave mean rounded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rounded.
Sorry.
Fancy words. And it's not going to have, because I went to like flower school for a little while, and it's.
What is that? What is flower school?
I would go back to Chicago every week and do like a flower school, and I would regrettably probably not do it again, but it gave me the confidence. But it taught me basically how to do like symmetrical arrangements, like put a flower here and then put one on the other side, which I do not follow at all. It's supposed, so when I say garden inspired, it's supposed to look like you just kind of pulled out
like wild, right?
Yeah, like you just kind of pulled out an arrangement from a garden, and this is how it looks. That's how it ended up. But it's actually very artful and a lot of thought put behind it. So
yeah, I read somebody had interviewed you and they had some pretty cool pictures, but there was like this like twig looking thing with like these berries and you said that like the leaves turn blue. It's like very cool little looking thing. And you said you picked it from your back alley.
Oh yeah.
Like how often do you do things like that where you take from what's around you?
I call it civil foraging. It's you're not supposed to, you don't pick it from like someone's garden. It's supposed to be something
your own garden.
From an alley or a side of a road, like something that's not it doesn't belong to anybody, but it adds something interesting to the arrangement. It adds a little bit of wild touch, something.
And that's like a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's civil foraging.
It might not be an actual like term. That's what I call it. Civil foraging.
But other people in the industry.
Or sorry, civil like pruning.
Civil pruning.
Civil pruning. You know, when you prune like your own bushes, you're supposed to like keep it under control. Well, I'm just keeping like the side of the road and an alley under control.
That makes sense.
No, I think I was talking about the there's this grapevine that grows on this fence that's like just abandoned, and it takes over this fence, and it in the fall, like around September, it turns this beautiful like fall, the foliage turns these beautiful orangish and yellow colors, and then it has these beautiful navy berries on it. I think it's called a creeping Virginia is what it's like actually called.
I want it. But that sounds awesome.
It's so beautiful.
A creeping Virginia.
Creeping Virginia. Mm. I think that's what it's called. I've tried to like look it up before, but and it belongs to nobody. And so sometimes I just go over there and grab it because nobody's enjoying it. And now I set it on a table and somebody's like talking about it. And
like us on a podcast. Yeah.
Civil pruning.
Civil pruning.
I You're also welcome. Read that in one arrangement you strung some hops.
Yes.
Tell me more about that. I think that's awesome.
That used to be more, so hops used to be a little bit more asked for, I feel like, but it's kind of gotten away from it. But right around September, hops is like, that's like right around their time, late August, early September.
Harvest season, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's some providers that, some growers that just have a ton of it and they're willing to send me hops vines. So I can put it, I mean, I love putting it in arrangements. It comes in a legit vine, like it takes over. So I did a great wedding that actually they're still so good to me. They order arrangements from me and they've come into the shop already. So I did it for their wedding and we did this kind of great Gatsby like garden party.
That's cool.
Wedding. And so I hung these beautiful hops vines from the balcony of their wedding.
I think I've seen that one on Instagram before.
Yeah.
Should take pictures of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was a couple years ago. It was really
like, was there aromatic involved? Like did the smell of fresh hops like come off that at all? Was that a part of it?
Oh no, not like a smelly thing.
Well, no. I mean, I love the way that hops smell. Like they're very citric for the most part.
People could smell them. I think it was a mess for sure. When I was setting up, I was like, there was leaves everywhere and it was such a mess, but obviously I cleaned that up. But yeah, it hung from the balcony as guests were walking in and they could just like see them hanging there. Just some people maybe look like a mess, but
was this a like a beer couple? Did they love beer?
Or no, they were just like they just trusted me. They were so wonderful. They were just wanted this garden party. And I said, can I hang some hops, the vines on your balcony? And they're like, yes, do it.
I missed the boat on that one.
Yeah. A lot of times people ask you to put the hops, like the actual hops in boutonnieres, which is easy. I can do that.
I'm so
day.
Mad
I was
right going
to say,
I am so mad.
Beer gurus, you know, you missed out on
that. I didn't
know
that was an option.
Yeah. We could
talk. I'm gonna have to get remarried
on your next
Krista.
Like your next anniversary party. We'll have to do that for you.
So what's next for Amanda and in the future here?
I think here, just trying to continue my wedding business, being just continue to be successful and just happy with it, as far as being pleased with the way weddings come, like. Just being able to be creative and enjoy them and artful and just being happy with them in general and the brides being happy as well. And then with this space, I'll grow it. I'd love to get people excited about plants. the people that have come in so far have bought like little plants, and nobody's bought the big floor plants. So I just want to get people excited about indoor plants and just kind of making their house a jungle.
Well, expand on that. How would you get somebody excited about plants that may necessarily not see a plant as exciting?
I think it's surprising. Well, I started small. I mean, I got one plant and then I was like, oh, I'm obsessed with the way it looks, like taking care of it. And I think it's popular in decor, like decor now. So I think that's why people are wanting to take on the venture. But it is something that you have to take care of, and you have to water and pay attention. So I'd love to help people do that. It's not an easy task. It's not it's something you have to learn. So I'd love to be able to just have somebody see something that they're drawn to and think that are pretty, and then just teach them how to take care of it and let it live for as long as it can. There's some, I mean, some of the snake plants behind you, those I bought one time, and somebody said that they inherited it from a friend's grandmother, and it was over 100 years old.
What?
Like, that's crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I mean,
that's
something
idea.
That, I mean, not every plant will do that, but
no,
a snake plant is so hardy, and it's something that, I mean, it's special to be able to be like, this is grandma's plant.
Yeah.
Something
well,
that,
I mean, at some point, like, her essence is just in that plant.
It's just so special.
Like, and it's just
I
there.
Think.
Seriously.
No, yeah.
I think so.
It's
just like an heirloom.
Yeah.
I like to provide value on this show. So give somebody a tip, right? Like, if I had plants, I would kill them immediately. Mm-hmm. So whether it's like, oh, hey, just water every other day, or throw in some Advil or something because it's going to help it, you know, live longer. Like, what is a good tip that you give somebody who's thinking about getting into plants?
Is Advil a thing? Or just,
no,
okay.
I'm just
I wasn't sure if there's like some kind of hack online that
there may be
something I don't
I've
know
got
about.
A black thumb, so I could use all the tips
I
you
know.
Can possibly
it's a process, it's a learning process. I think most people's problem is they overwater it. They just like want to love it so much that they just like over water it. So the thing is to water it the amount, to water it more but less water. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like, instead of a cup of water, do a half cup of water and do it once a week.
So instead of a puddle kind of coming up on top, just
so puddle's not good.
Yeah, you don't want to like overwater, especially if it can't, like if it doesn't have a hole at the bottom, then it's not going to be able to.
Yeah,
it's just going to sit at the bottom.
It's just going to sit in water. So
that is me to a T. I love that plant too much. I'm just like, you need more water.
Especially like succulents. People love succulents and they like to dry out. So people are constantly like watering them and they're like, no, let me dry out.
So they want to be dried out.
Oh, yeah. Some plants like to be dried out. And then you water them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Usually the test is you stick your finger in the soil.
I feel like we missed out on a whole section of discussion today talking about each and every type of plant.
Yeah. You guys can come into the shop and everybody listening can come.
I'm
going to
do
learn.
A little internship.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour some of this garden.
Do you offer any, or would you offer any educational type classes or courses, or have people ever been interested in that, or you try to do seminars, or is that something that maybe you're interested in?
I mean, anybody that comes in and has questions, I'm happy to answer any and all questions. But down the line, I do hope to do some like workshops, whether it be one of the first ones I want to do is terrarium workshop, just because I feel like everybody's would love to make themselves a terrarium. But then I'd love to do just different things. And then I'd love to get like a blog going about just different tips on how to take care of your plants. And that's one of my lists on my website. I'm going to have a how to care about plants. So that's coming.
And this is also visual. Like, this is made for social media. Like, you could crush it.
Yes.
On social media.
Yes. I'm trying. Dear old social media.
Yeah, you gotta be good at it.
I'm trying.
So we like to ask our guests like different questions about where they like to go about town.
Oh yeah.
Jared, fire off a couple of these questions that we like to ask.
Favorite bar.
Favorite bar. Ralston's. We always go to Ralston's.
Favorite patio.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Can't be the same thing.
Same thing. Okay, so we live down the street from Flat 12, so we walk the dogs there all the time and sit with the dogs outside.
I think you might answer my next one. Favorite brewery.
Favorite brewery. Well, I love going to the Kolsch Lip Central States. Space.
Shout out.
Love them.
Favorite drink?
Favorite drink. I'm a follower. Whatever everybody else is ordering, I'll order. I drink everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I'm a, I mean, it depends where I am. I love a beer. I love a good red dry wine. And I love Tito's on the Rocks.
Favorite dinner spot for a date with your husband?
Yeah.
We're cheap. We go to La Prada. I could eat.
That's my jam, by the way.
I've never been there.
I could eat a burrito every single day.
I can't
day.
Believe that's the first time we've talked about that place on here. On the way here, I drove by it and I was like, oh my goodness, she's right by La Prada.
Wait, you actually did mention that when you were talking about driving here.
Ugh, it's down the street.
Yeah, it's my jam.
We can walk I've never been there. We can have margaritas all night long and stumble home.
And their margaritas are huge, depending on which one you get.
Yeah,
so.
Dangerous.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of some other questions now.
So where's
you
your favorite
got me on
place?
La Parada.
No. Where's your favorite place to go grab a cup of coffee?
Oh yeah,
a cup of coffee. I always used to have meetings at the Thirsty Scholar, coffee there, and because they have Intelligentsia coffee, so I love coming from Chicago.
That was in South Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm. Intelli coffee's good.
Yeah, love their coffee. I love their space too, because not a lot of people outside the city have been there. So.
To Intelligentsia or Thirsty Scholar?
Thirsty Scholar.
Well, I think parking's part of that, but
yeah.
if you make it in there, it's cool.
If you go in a daytime, in the cool back space. Of the Penn Arts building there, there's some decent parking. Mm-hmm. It's it's after
that.
5 o'clock that,
yeah,
like at evening hours.
I park in there all the time. Yeah.
You get in trouble, so, but I would agree.
Yeah, love their coffee.
What about your, if you had a go-to, like, me, random dude just comes in like, oh my gosh, I messed up so hard. I mm-hmm. need to get my wife flowers. Like, what is your go-to? Like, this always works.
Just flowers in general.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, how often you'll
I
always
never mess up, if that's what you're asking.
No. Of course not. No. But you'll always see when women get flowers, they always post it on social media. Because what men just like, they just don't think to get them flowers very often. So I will never get flowers probably for the rest of my life. That's kind of sad.
Although if he
I live
bought
with
flowers,
it's okay.
From you,
I never really thought about that. It's
it's like a curse.
Yeah,
I know. We joke that it used to be if you thought to get me flowers, maybe get me a plant, but that can't happen anymore because
got too many of them.
I'm surrounded by plants.
Didn't
now,
Adam
so.
Sandler like bring like bags of flour in one of the movies that he was in? So maybe that would
he
work.
Should do that. Yeah. No, but any flowers. I mean, girls love getting flowers. So
even though they say that they don't.
Oh my gosh, they love it. I mean, unless some girls really honestly don't like flowers, like if they're allergic to them.
See, I struggle with this one with my wife because mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat. She's, you know, she enjoys it, but, you know, there's other
if
things.
If she doesn't
can,
like it, then if she likes other things, then I would do other
but
things.
But every time I get her flowers, she's like, you know, loves it. Yeah. So,
smitten.
Yeah.
I know.
And wants to show everyone at the office.
Yeah.
So I need to do it more often. I see, what you're saying here.
Yeah. Shameless.
So if I wanted to send her flowers to her office, is that something mm-hmm. you are doing? Do you do deliveries?
Mm-hmm. So I do deliveries. And then I'm also working on getting some like packages together that are like a little flower arrangement with like, I have some bath soaks over there and like, it's a chocolate, a really fun chocolate bar, or like you can send a plant with a little plant mister, like little packages together that are just a little bit more thoughtful than just the typical.
Will that stuff be available on the website?
On the online, yeah.
Perfect.
On the interweb.
I like it. I like it.
That's coming soon, hopefully.
So I'm going to kick off this conversation, and we're getting to review time.
Yep.
Here, and we've had the Seedlip Garden, the Seedlip Spice, and I've actually tried two different variations of each. I think that on just taste alone from having them by themselves. I originally started with the spice, but I think I flipped over to the garden. There's just something very refreshing about
really?
That one that I, oh my gosh. Yeah. And actually that is carrying over to the mixie that I made. So the first one was a gin with the spice and some grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really good. But then I made the Tito's vodka and garden with the grapefruit, and that's just like summer in a glass.
So fresh.
So it was tough, but I think that's my winner. And based on our rating system, you know, I don't think that 4 or 5 is really going to apply for me. So I'm not going to collect either of these. And I may or may not necessarily impress anybody, but these are both, you know, bottles that I would buy at home. And I may drink them when I'm, you know, going through a period where I'm not drinking.
Absolutely.
And I think that they're absolutely delicious that way on their own. So I'm going to give both of them 3-star ratings for me. I'd buy bottles.
Perfect.
I would also agree with that. No, I say that jokingly in the sense of, you know, there's a lot of people who do go out to the bars and, you know, always ask for water, always ask for, you know, a soda water or something of that nature. So I think these would be phenomenal options. In fact, I was going to ask, are there other places that have these available here in Indianapolis? Or
not that I know of. I know like of other places in the states that are selling them, but I don't know of anybody that are like making cocktails, but I'm working on that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I would also, I mean, with our rating system, I would also give these 3s in the sense of buying them and drinking them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know your rating system too well. So
although for the branding part of it, I would have almost said that you might collect something like that. I mean, the branding's on point.
It would be really pretty on a bar. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just Jared's obsessed with good branding.
It is true.
Well, and also for people that are looking to give like gifts for pregnant women.
Ooh.
True.
This is why we do these interviews, because I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. It's something you can make some mocktails with. So
I'll run down our rating system here for you.
Oh, yes.
So 1-star, you would not buy it at all.
Okay.
Right? You just wouldn't buy a drink, wouldn't buy a bottle, don't care. 2 stars is you would buy it at the bar.
Okay.
So if you went to a bar and they had this there, they had it on the menu, you would order a drink of it or you would order it straight. 3 would be that you would purchase a bottle. So you'd go out, find one, order it on the internet, come here to your store and pick one up. 4 would be that you would buy it to impress people, right?
Okay.
So or give it as a gift. And 5... would be you would buy to collect. So that is literally displayed on your beautiful shelf and you would just collect that and be ever in awe of its beauty, right?
Makes sense. I would say, I don't know. I would say 4 because I think it's a good gift for certain people.
Yep.
I agree. I don't know if I would collect it. I think it's a really beautiful bottle.
Yeah.
I think it's a good gift, but otherwise I would probably say 3.
And she's already bottom for the store.
Yeah.
And
so
therefore she's a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
And so of the 2, and I don't think, Jared, did you give a,
the spice is my favorite
spice.
Yeah.
And what did you drink that with other than on its own?
I did the spice with the, gin, the Hotel Tango gin.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
I did
the garden with the vodka. I think that's perfect for summer, but I think I would agree with the spice and the gin for more of a fall, winter.
That would be good in like a mulled cider or something like that. That'd be kind of clutch.
Yeah.
Just thinking ahead.
I'm going to try to do some cool tasting. So if anybody comes in and wants to taste it, I'll let you taste it.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Free tastings.
The bottle's open already. Left.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll give you an opportunity here at the end to blast out your social media, any events that you've got going on. If you want to throw your address out there again, just so people know where to find you, where to follow you, all that kind of stuff.
Sounds good right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah. I'm at I'm right now with the shops at Grounded Plant Floral Co. And then my wedding business is at wildheartblooms.com. Well, it's at wildheart. Sorry. The website is wildheartblooms.com. The Instagram is wildheartblooms. But that's going to be changed once I get Grounded's website going. So it's all kind of up in the air right now. But Google it or
just
email
Google
me.
It. Yeah, for sure. And we'll put links up to everybody or for everybody so that they can find it.
And your Facebook page has already changed, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I have 2 Facebook pages. It's wildheartblooms and then Grounded Plant Floral Co. So they're both up there. You can find them and it's all the same. My email's amanda@wildheartblooms.com. So just email me if you have a question.
And I highly suggest people do contact you. This space is awesome.
Thank you.
I think that you're doing cool things here in Indianapolis. One thing that I kind of want to incorporate here at the end is I want to give you an opportunity, and this is going to help us out, is there somebody in this city that you think would be a good person for us to talk to next? You know, do you have a suggestion of somebody in town that would be a great conversation?
I'm trying to think. You're putting me on the spot.
That is an on-the-spot question.
I like it, though, because it doesn't give you time to, like...
I know, to think, overthink it so much.
I mean, it could be somebody that inspires you. You don't even have to know them.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it earlier. I love the gal, the owner of Garden Table. I think what she's done is so admirable. And just the look that she's put together and the whole feel and the menu and just everything she's put together. And how young she is and that she's a female, I'm so intrigued by. So I don't know her, but... I'm very excited for what she's doing.
It's on the radar.
Yep. We'll work on getting that one taken care of.
There's many other people that I could probably think of in more depth if you gave me time, but
no time.
That's the first one that came to mind.
We put you on the spot.
You've also talked to some very interesting people that I love already. So
good. We're going to keep them coming.
We're going
to
keep it coming. So Jared, any final thoughts? Anything you want to throw out there?
No, I just thank you for your time today.
Yes,
this is an excellent little discussion to learn a little bit more about the plants and more so of how this all came together. So thank you for your time on that.
Absolutely. Thanks for thinking of me.
Absolutely. Guys, you can follow us as always. You can either go to our website, drnkcltr.com, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at drnkcltr. Drink culture, stay woke, come visit Amanda here in the Holy Cross neighborhood. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.